Well, we have a big pod today, Rob. It's a mega pod. We have not one, not two, but three matches to discuss and Patreon questions. Are you ready?
Let's get it.
First, we're going to talk a little bit about the Alves game that took place last weekend. Yes. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but Rob, you did the match report for this game. Or you did the ratings for this game, rather.
I did the ratings, yes.
Yes. Talk us through that match a little bit before we move along in our coverage.
Right, yeah. It was an interesting one for Atletico. I think in some ways I was quite concerned because we saw the reprisal of the front three of all strikers again, which was concerning, although it did end up working out. But Atletico probably scored more goals than they should have, sort of based on XG and stuff. But they scored some really nice ones. Obviously, Tomas's, I would say, was the pick of the bunch. Diego yeah. Costa's was really nice as well.
I preferred Costa's, honestly. I know that's sacrilege because Tomas scored a brilliant goal, but I loved Costa's goal so much. He never scores that goal.
I think it's fair. I think, and that's what I wrote in my player ratings. I think that it's not a... Diego Costa is not a scorer of great goals. He's a great goal scorer. Correct. But that turn was beautiful, and it was a beautiful shot.
Overall, it was, like, that has to be not only Atleti's best away performance of the season, but one of their best overall performances of the season, right?
I think so. They did great to limit Alaves in that game, I thought, and created some really solid chances.
Yeah, put up four goals away, just the third time they've put up four goals in a game this season.
And I think we also kind of saw a different version of Saul, because we've been worried about him and the transfer rumors and stuff, but in this game he was a real attacking threat.
Yeah, scored the opener, had a great chance just before he scored the opener as well.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's interesting you said that because Saul on Tuesday played a totally different role than he played on Saturday.
Yes.
Just fascinating how week match in and match out, Cholo just finds new ways to use Saul. Not all of them are positive, of course.
New and exciting ways to play him out of position.
Exactly. So that Alaves win was very nice. Again, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time about it, on it. We'll move on to Girona now. Our Colchonero chat amigo, Alex Elliott, I think this is a good place to start. He says, oh, did we play Tuesday? I've been a cave since the Juve return leg. I'm still a little disoriented.
I think I certainly can understand that feeling, and I think we all I've kind of been feeling that. It's like, do we really have to play the rest of the season? Mm-hmm. I certainly had that feeling.
Alex also says, I'm trying to figure out why our best performances are in games that don't even matter anymore. It's such a bittersweet feeling. Atletico have played well in two games since the international break, so he's not wrong.
And it also is like every time there was an opportunity when Barcelona dropped points, Atleti would then promptly shit the bed accordingly. So, like, now I understand the question because it's like they're putting in some great performances, but it seems like the title's all but gone, and it's been gone for months. So,
well, I think we're burying the lead here. Atleti finally beat Girona, Rob.
Yeah,
we're burying
that
the lead.
Is true.
Sixth time's the charm.
And it was fully deserved.
Well, it was, but I think from the 46th minute to the 76th minute, this was absolutely awful. This was a really horrible half an hour. The first half, I thought Atleti played well. There were some periods of exciting play. Koke hit the bar. Yeah, that was nice. Oblak made a wonderful save. I don't know how he made it on Doumbia, that third-minute header. I still don't know how he made that save. But until like the 76th minute when Godin scored, this was a wretched performance. I thought it was going to end in a draw. I really did.
It seemed that way.
Yeah,
but then Atleti got some late goals for the first time in a while.
El Capitan showed up. It went to VAR, as pretty much all Atletico goals these days do.
Oh, yeah.
It went to VAR, and VAR ruled that Griezmann had been onside, which made Godin's header into an empty goal, legal, and then Griezmann put the finishing touches on it in the 93rd minute, his first goal since February, middle of February.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's been real cold.
He's been ice cold.
But, I mean, you know, someone else that's been cold for an even longer period of time is Diego Godin scoring.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't happen so much anymore.
He was great in this game, by the way. He was excellent. Five headers won, four clearances. Atleti as a team won nearly 70% of their aerial duels.
Which is impressive. And, I mean, this team is kind of... If you think about some of the changes that might happen this summer, Atleti, they may be changing somewhat, but I think they're always going to retain that physical strength, because clearly it's something Cholo wants all his teams to have.
Yeah. Godin won five headers. Rodri won five headers. Saul won eight headers. Morata won five headers. Just reading down the team sheets, really impressive. And I think you mentioned this right after the Morata loan became official, what he would add to this team's front line in terms of winning headers, and you were totally right.
I mean, that is his greatest strength, in my opinion, is his headers, not just in terms of shooting, but also in terms of bringing in other strikers to play. And with someone like Griezmann, we know that works well based on what he's done with Olivier Giroud, what he's done with Diego Costa at times. He thrives on a partner that does the opposite of him.
Unfortunately for Morata, he also got hurt in this game, which is a shame because it's yet another injury, and he was just getting back into form after he scored against Alaves at the weekend. Morata very unlikely to play against Barcelona this weekend, which, considering Diego Costa's also hurt again, that's a problem. That is an issue.
Angel Correa up front with Antoine Griezmann. You know it's coming.
No, I'm not acknowledging that. I'm not acknowledging that.
Maybe we'll see Saul up front. That'd complete the set for him this season.
He's like the utility man in baseball.
Yeah, exactly. He can play anywhere. Hell, put him in goal. See what he can do.
Oh, man. Overall, I thought this was a good performance from Atleti. 17 shots, 7 of them on target. 2.71 expected goals to 0.68 for Girona, which pretty much is in line with the full-time score. Coach Nero Chattamigo, Sporting Gijon, says,
"Oh yes,
probably too late, but wanted to ask if you are seeing the same thing I am, which is that we need more Vitolo in our lives. I know he's hurt all the time, but he brought an energy to the Girona game that the team has been sorely lacking all season. Do you think he'll be with Atleti next season? And am I wrong in thinking he could still be a very good thing for Los Rojiblancos?" Well, let's talk about this individual performance first before we kind of talk about Vitolo's future. I thought he was great. He came on a little after the hour. He replaced Felipe, or rather what's left of Felipe. Very unimpressive again. And I thought he just went to work right away. 30 touches, completed 94% of his passes, managed a couple shots, got the assist on the Griezmann goal that pretty much ended the game. I thought he was kind of a live wire out there. Completed 3 dribbles, too. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's fantastic. And I think if you look at his stats for a sub that only played 22-ish minutes, it's pretty crazy. I mean, to have basically 0.4 in both expected goals and expected assists for that short of an amount of time is spectacular. And Sporting Gijon is right to point out that he is hurt quite a lot of the time. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought that he should have been used more at the beginning of this second half of the year, but the injuries have really stopped that, and his form also has not allowed him to be picked as much. So I think if he's going to have a last push to stay an Atletico player, this is the time.
I was thinking about this before we went on air. I don't really know what the market for Vitolo would be, even. I mean, 29-year-old winger going on 30... on somewhat expensive wages, has a long history of injuries. When he's on, he is on. He's a former Spain international, quite a good player, a versatile player, really has talent, but he's getting up there in years. He's another one of these Atletico players who's about to hit 30, and he's never really had a long-term role in this team. His role has been super sub, and that's even when he's fit.
I think Atleti would probably be lucky to get half of what they paid for him, which would be, what, about $15 million? I think that would be
about 20,
a 15, fairly solid deal.
$15, $20 million, yeah, because they paid almost $40 for him.
Which crazy now.
Looking back on it, you'd not be a wisest investment. I mean, when Vitolo's been healthy, he's been good, but he's never really all that healthy, and he doesn't start. You're paying $40 million to sit a guy on the bench.
I think the thing that we've learned from both Atleti and Barcelona's transfer bans is never buy players during a transfer ban. They all end up being terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think Atleti might just be forced to hang on to him this summer, to be honest with you.
Which may not be a bad thing, but also could kind of be a bad thing, because you never know what production you're going to get out of him.
Exactly. Considering how many other potential outs there are going to be, it may just be that's one step too many to get rid of Vitolo, too.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those ins and those outs in just a little bit here. But yeah, I think there are arguments both ways. I think Vitolo's probably going to end up staying. I don't even know who would go after him.
I mean, maybe some, like, mid-tier Spanish team. Like, I mean, I don't know, but they will pay a lot of money for him.
I mean, I think a team like Betis could use him.
I was actually thinking about saying Betis, but then I remembered he used to play for Sevilla, and I was like, well, if he really wanted to piss them off some more.
If he really wanted to really get on their bad side, first move to Atletico, then move to Betis, who are, like, the two teams Sevilla hate more than anybody.
I can almost see it happening now.
But it's ironic, because Betis probably could use a winger like him.
It's true, to replace Joaquin.
It would be funny.
It'd be the worst idea.
I mean, I don't know. I would, if Villarreal were at all normal this year, I'd say they would be an option for him. But yeah.
Even Valencia, something like that. But Vitolo, I think they're kind of beyond him too.
Vitolo's not a center back, so Villarreal actually can't use him.
Exactly. God, poor Villarreal. Let's pour one out for them last night.
Seriously, 4-2 up in the 86th minute, and then Alvaro gets sent off, and then you do that. Really.
Pour one out for Villarreal. They might be going down.
I think they are. I think that result doomed them. I really do. They needed to win that game.
Don't worry, they're still in the quarterfinals of the Europa League.
As if that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it does matter, Jeremy, because if they get to the semifinal, they could potentially play Arsenal, so we can cry and say goodbye to Santi Cazorla.
Oh, God, I know you want that.
Oh, I'm dying for it. I'm absolutely desperate.
Santi was great on Tuesday. He was great.
He was. He's been their best player this year. Everyone else has just been an inconsistent mess, but...
Which is unbelievable, because he wasn't even... 9 months ago, we were talking about he's never going to play again.
Exactly. Exactly, and he's just picked right up where everyone remembers him. I mean, he looks just like the Santi he's always been. I mean, let's be honest, he was never an athlete in the first place.
No.
It's not like he ever was going to lose much pace or anything.
Yeah, his game... Let's just say his game was not predicated on that.
I mean... He's the OG of the short man game.
Yeah.
I respect it so much, his short man game.
As a short man myself, I respect it. Yes, most definitely.
Same here, big time.
What else from the Girona game? Let's see. Jose Jimenez, I think this is his 16th or 17th game in a row, the longest run of games he's ever had in this team.
Fantastic.
Which is unbelievable, considering he's 24 now.
But, I mean, and it's the thing we've said about him all along. If he's fit, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he's worked out the mental kinks in his game where he was young and he was a bit of an idiot sometimes, but he's worked those out for the most part.
Yeah.
And now that he's playing consistently, it makes me more optimistic about the Lucas departure, put it that way.
Yeah, and he's had a brilliant season, and he is going to step in when Godin leaves and be the leader of this defense. I feel pretty confident in him now, whereas 2 years ago, I would not have felt confident about him. I mean, Cholo was playing him in midfield 2 years ago because he couldn't trust him.
God, I mean, at times, even 2-3 years ago, I mean, he was a walking disaster.
He really could.
I mean, it's like he would be a red card or something.
He was a headless chicken.
He was.
But
it wasn't. I mean, you could tell how physically talented he was even then, and now he's kind of put it all together.
And you see it starting the second half of last season, just going forward, how the past year or so he's just been awesome. When he's been fit, he's been awesome. This is his longest run in the team. Knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt against Barca.
Please.
Really, I probably shouldn't have even mentioned that. Considering the last time I recited a statistic or made a prediction on this program, I should just stop doing that.
Yeah, we gotta bury that podcast.
Yeah, the Vitolo podcast are the two that we need to bury. That early morning pod where I just
faded Ronaldo hat trick pod.
I just went off.
Oh, that was so bad.
Rodri, as we usually do, we'll update you on his passing accuracy. 91% in this game. Just the 5 headers, 1, 5 tackles, 3 clearances. Just another day at the office for Rodri.
Yeah, I mean, it would be scary to think where this athletic midfield would be at if they hadn't got him in. Because he's been the glue that's held everything together this season in a fairly tumultuous team.
He really has been. And there was an interesting chat in the Into the Calderon comments the other day regarding Rodri and, like, his best role in this team. My argument was, well, the initial post was like, I can't help but wonder if it's a coincidence that that the win over Alaves, arguably the best away performance of the season, occurred in the first game in a while where Rodri didn't play. And the commenter who made a very thoughtful, reasonable, rational post, I really appreciated it. He kind of brought up some of the results that Letty have had this season where Rodri didn't play a huge role, or he came on and the result got worse. And my thinking is just, look, I think Rodri is still a very, very important player. He's just, honestly, Rodri isn't being used properly either. A lot like Sal, Rodri isn't playing in the system that best suits him. He needs to be playing at the base of a diamond. That's my take.
As the deepest one in a three or as one in a diamond, yeah, I think that would suit him best. But yeah, I think if you're asking Rodri to do a lot of stuff going forward, that's you're just using him wrong. And I think ultimately he'll end up. I'm less concerned, put it to you this way, I'm less concerned about his long-term positioning than I ever was about Koke or Sal. Because I feel like it's quite obvious with Rodri, whereas with Koke and Sal, it's like, well, they're not really wingers, and they're not ideal total central midfielders. But Rodri is very much a kind of dictating the play, grab the game by the scruff of the neck sort of old-school defensive central midfielder.
I think it shows how good Rodri is that he's not playing in the best system for him, which is a flat... He's playing in a flat four-man midfield, which is not best for him, and he's still an absolute stud. Like, he's still leading the team in recoveries, leading the team in passes, accuracy. Like, he does it all. But I think his game, like, which is just short horizontal passing and recovering the ball under any circumstances, I think that his game, those facets of his game are best in at the base of a diamond or the deepest man in the three. I agree with you.
And I would also say that I think at some point he could find himself being best deployed as the second man in a two. But, I mean, if we're sort of painting him as the next Gabby, as he basically is, Gabby took a while before he developed into a full-fledged do-everything central midfielder. And Rodri's still so young, it may just take a little while for him to adapt to that role.
Yeah, he's only 22 and he's still bloody awesome.
Amazing. He's so good. You couldn't really ask for more out of a central midfield player,
especially in his debut season. He's been just excellent
at that age, at that price. I mean, everything about that transfer is fantastic.
Yeah, we finally got a nice thing for us.
I mean, that might be Atleti's best transfer ever. I mean, Griezmann was expensive and so was Oblak, but Rodri was a real find.
Yeah, a steal at that price from Villarreal.
And to get him so early before there was ever any competition.
Yeah, they had that deal wrapped up at the beginning of last season, and he's been the best midfielder in this team this season. I don't think that's really up for debate.
And probably, like we talked about earlier, a big part of the reason why his old team are going to go down.
Yeah, he really held them together.
They don't have him.
It's a fair point.
So, I think he matters, but I think he matters in the ways that people don't always notice.
Let's answer some Colchonero Chat Amigo questions, and then we will preview the Barcelona tilt on Saturday. Now, Remember, Atletico have not won at Camp Nou since 2006, and Cholo has never beaten Barca in La Liga. So, we'll talk all about that. But first, some questions. Alex Elliott continues from his earlier point about not knowing that Atleti still have games, which, you know, I understand. What are your honest thoughts on Cholo right now? Can he take Atletico further, far in the Champions League again? What further tactical changes do you see him making as a manager to perhaps make Atletico a more offensive team to compensate for the fact that we are not as solid a defensive side as 3 or 4 years ago? So there's a lot in there. There's a lot to dissect there, and I think we're going to do it in like two different sections because we have a very similar question about Atleti's defensive reinforcements this summer.
Okay, so we'll start with Cholo.
Okay. I still believe in him. I think he is the best coach for this team. He embodies everything that is Atletico. Even this contract is going to take him to a decade as Atleti's boss, which is stunning. Jaw-dropping in the modern game where managers don't last more than 3 years usually.
Yep.
Unless you're Arsene Wenger, in which you inexplicably last 22 years. I'm sorry, did I say that?
The GOAT!
I'm sorry.
The GOAT! He's the GOAT! Don't hate on him. And I will get to my point on that, so you finish
it up. I still think that Simeone can take this team deep into the Champions League again. I mean, they went deep into a European competition last year. Yeah. They won the Europa League. I still think they can get deep into the Champions League at least one more time, but it's going to take solid recruitment. He needs to hit on defensive targets this summer. Atleti are going to rebuild this entire defense. They're probably going to add another midfielder or two, and even possibly another forward. He's got to hit on his transfer targets this summer, or else maybe he's not going to take them deep into the Champions League again, or achieve any other serious challenges at silverware. I also think he needs to stick with this pseudo trident of Costa and Morata up top, with Griezmann kind of roaming around nominally on the left wing. I assuming Costa stays. He needs to stick with that, though. I think it wasn't very good against Athletic, but it was dynamite against Alaves.
I think in a lot of ways, Diego Simeone is a victim of his own success because he basically took Atleti from a team that had only kind of won the Europa League because they got to the final against Fulham and turned them into a perennial Champions League club and one that could win the title and compete to win the Champions League, which previously would have been unthinkable. So he gets a lot of credit, but now he's a victim to the expectations and the standards that he set himself. So I'm always one to back the manager. I backed Arsene Wenger to the bitter end. I think you can tell when a manager's not doing anything. But I think the reality is, where's the upgrade for Atleti here?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's the other big question, is who can they get who both embodies the spirit of this club and who can take them another step forward tactically?
That list is like maybe two or three managers long, if that. I mean, Pep Guardiola is not going to become available to Atleti, I don't think.
Neither is Mauricio Pochettino.
No. I mean, I don't think Jurgen Klopp will come to Atleti.
No.
I mean, it's just not going to happen, and none of us... I mean, that's it. And beyond that list, I mean, I realize those are all Premier League managers, hashtag Premier League master race, but, there's just not a clear upgrade available, and I don't want Atleti to have to backtrack. I mean, I think the most realistic would maybe be someone like Marcelino at Valencia.
I was going to say Marcelino, but
it's kind of a sideways move, and they and Valencia had not been so good this year. So,
well, they beat Madrid. They beat Madrid today, and they're just a point off fourth now. Remarkably, I'm sad about that. I'm sad about that because now we can't make fun of them anymore.
But granted, they were always ridiculously underperforming.
Yeah, they were. I know.
Yeah, but Marcelino, I think, is still a great coach, and It's a possibility if Diego Simeone were to leave, but the list is so small, it makes no sense to find a sack.
I mean, I guess someone could say Jose Bordalas at Getafe. I mean, Getafe are kind of like a mini Atleti anyway with the way they approach the game defensively.
But do we want that? Do we want to carry on this tradition? Yeah,
exactly. Will the board want to go with someone totally new if Cholo leaves? Will they want to maybe appoint Mono Burgos to replace him?
Appoint Tiago?
Yeah, that was talked about a bit when Tiago retired. That was kind of the hot rumor, is that Tiago was going to take up coaching and maybe someday replace Simeone. But I don't know, there's not much to talk about with regard to Cholo replacements, because he's still going to be here another 2 or 3 years. And I think with a really good summer, I'm really excited about this summer, honestly, the more I think about it. Atleti have a chance to do this summer what they could have done and should have done 2 years ago, but couldn't because of the transfer ban. Should have done it last year, but just kind of chose to, you know, comb around the edges. This summer is going to be the full-on rebuild. And I think I've said this on the show before, but I'm excited. And if Cholo gets the guys he's after and the guys he wants, we'll see. We will see.
Put to you this way. I'm more confident in Cholo's abilities than I am the recruitment abilities of the people above him.
That's a decent shout.
So, we'll leave it there. we trust Cholo. We like him.
We're not
freaking out yet. We're not a Cholo out pod.
He's built up a lot of credit, okay? Like,
it's damn right.
Like, this may end up being only a B-, a C-plus season, but there's a trophy. They won the Super Cup. Yay.
Yeah, and they won the Europa League last season. Hey. So, yeah.
Hey, trophies. Tres Gatos, another Colts Neuro Chat amigo. He has two questions. The first one is, Oblak has made this defense look much better than it has been. It is sad to see Lucas go, but it would be nice to invest a bit in that defense with Godin, Felipe, and Juanfran near the end. Savage, although solid, is not that special. With what we have currently for the back four, I like Joseman Arias, and that is it. With Johnny for sale, anything is welcome at left back. We hear Telles and Tagliafico. Who do we want to see at center back and left back who are realistic options?
Ooh, man, okay.
That is a good one.
That is a good one. I'm going to have to think about that one. Center backs and full backs that are good options.
I've got some targets in mind.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Honestly, I think Montero is a good shout. I like Montero, and he's been solid when called upon this year, but he's still really young. He would be interesting to see develop in this team, but he probably needs to go on loan. Nehuen Perez as well, only 18 years old, is training with the first team, so Cholo likes him. But he, too, is probably going to go out on loan, maybe to like a Rayo Vallecano type of team. Well, if Rayo go down, whoever replaces Rayo, one of the newly promoted sides. I want Alex Telles at left back. I think he's a really good option. Hugo Mayo, Tagliafico, Jose Gaya are other options I could see becoming feasible. If Celta get relegated, Mayo could become available. I've always loved Hugo Mayo. Tagliafico's been linked for a while. I love Jose Gaya, but his release clause is kind of high, and he loves Valencia. He's like Valencia born and bred, so it'd be tough to pry him away. And there's also interest in Matias Oliveira at Getafe as well. He hasn't played that much this year, but he's only 21, and Atleti do like him from what I read. So that's left back right there.
But I would also say, in general, the Celta Vigo team, if they go down, Atleti need to be on that like a vulture on a carcass. Yeah. I mean, they can get some deals out of that team. You think, because they're going to have to sell some of their best players at a discount. I mean, imagine if Iago Aspas becomes for sale.
Oh, man.
For dirt cheap.
If Bryce Mendes becomes available. I love Bryce Mendes.
I mean, Maxi Gomez. Maxi. I mean, even like Nestor Araujo would be an interesting option. So,
yeah, those are. Oh, I'm salivating right now. Maxi Gomez in an Atletico shirt. Ugh.
Woo, Lord, yeah. But beyond them, I mean, I'm sort of the opinion Atleti should shop within the league, because I think what we've seen this season is that there's a lot of strong teams in La Liga, and I think what that shows us is that there's a bit of talent that can be gleaned from the lower end of the table. So, shopping within our league would be good, but I think clearly the biggest replacements are going to come in defense. And I'm interested to see what route Diego Simeone goes with.
I think you and I agree that Atleti should scout within La Liga to replace some of these guys rather than going to France or going to Portugal, or especially Portugal. That being said, Ruben Dias is a guy that I want as a center back, as the Godin replacement. 21 years old, full international, already making waves at Benfica, just his second full season playing for the first team. Jenny Dakonam from Getafe is a guy I've mentioned on this program before. He's awesome. I would love to see him at Atleti this summer. His center back partner, Leandro Cabrera, leads the league in clearances per 90 minutes, and he's only 27. I think he's at something around 7 clearances per 90 minutes. It's a ridiculous number. Guillermo Maripan has had a really good year at Alaves. He's only 24. He could become available. I love Uri at Athletic, but he's not going to leave. Calero at Valladolid is only 23. He's had a very good first season in La Liga. And if Valladolid go back down, which is still possible, if they go back down, he will be available for cheap.
That's very true. And I've been very impressed by Valladolid in general this season. I am totally with you on Uri. I think he's brilliant, and he's God love him, given through all the stuff he's gone through with his cancer. And he's still amazing. I don't think we'd be able to get him, though. But I agree with you on Emiliano Velasquez. I think Vallecano, that would be a good shout as well. His stats are ridiculous. So, I mean, we want to see him go towards the younger end of the spectrum. I think there are some solid options. So, hopefully we're not going for the ultra-late 20s guys.
If Atleti buy anyone over 27 this summer, I'm going to freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone. I don't care what position it is. If they buy anyone who's over 26 or 27, it's going to be a bad time.
Unless it's a backup goalkeeper.
Right. Right. I remember Antonio Adon. Do you?
I don't think he's still on the team. I think he got fired into space.
Well, he's still on Instagram, I will tell you that. Trey Scottos has another question. A very interesting question. What do Atletico do with Diego Costa this summer? He says he liked his first stint. I like the idea of him coming back. I like what he brings at times to our squad, but it is few and far between. Is there a Chinese option for sale still available? Because I cannot see a European side giving Atletico the money for those wages or to make up for that cost at that age.
I don't know what more else I need to add to that.
Yeah.
That basically is true.
That's kind of the answer to the question.
I felt the same way across the board, sort of his second stint in Atletico. Very excited at first, and then quickly that went away.
And it's just injury. He only got through 45 minutes against Alves before getting hurt again.
I think it's over for Costa. I mean, he's always had injury problems. I guess it kind of makes sense that they're catching up with him a little bit in his older age. But damn, I didn't think he'd come this quick.
Yeah, the drop off would be this dramatic. I'm probably going to do a column up on this later this week or early next week. But I think it's fair to ask if he's washed.
I think it is.
He's going on 31. He's making a lot of money. He has a very high release clause that surely Atleti will bring down if they do look to sell him. And Simeone had a press conference before the Girona game saying he still loves Diego and he hopes he stays, which, okay, sure. I'm not seeing it. I'm appreciate that you believe in him still. I still love him as well, but the results just aren't there. And you can ditch Costa for, say, Maxi Gomez, who I adore.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like a young Diego Costa.
But I agree again with the question is right on. What European team's going to pay for Costa? Not only a price Atleti would accept, but then pay his wages. I don't think there's any.
The only chance you will have to kind of recoup that transfer fee would be selling him to China, to a Chinese team.
Yep.
And they can afford to pay him the wages. I mean, they still have that ridiculous tax on importing foreign players, which I get it. I get why they do it. But that's the only chance Atleti will really have at getting most of that transfer fee back. No one in Europe is going to pay $60 million for him again.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Oh, God, no. Atleti would be lucky if they got a quarter of that from a European team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think whatever happens, Atleti are taking a big loss on him. I'd even think if China comes in for him, they would – take a loss.
Abdul Malik Al-Harboa asks a couple questions as well. His first question, in regards to Diego Godin, is it wise to so easily cut him loose? I know he's lost a step and Inter are willing to give him a 2 or 3 year contract, but I still think that the whole team and not just the defensive line needs him.
Yeah, it's kind of rough to lose Gabby and then Godin in consecutive summers. But at the same time, I think actually for him as a professional, it's the right decision because Italy's a slower league in general. He'll get a little bit more play. He really clearly has lost a step. I think he is a leader for this team, but I think this team also needs to move on from that era.
Yeah, unlike Costa, I don't think Godin is washed. Like, not even close. I think Godin still has a couple years at least of solid to elite defending left in him. That being said, I think he will be an absolute monster in Serie A.
I love it.
That is the perfect league for him. The pace is slower. It's less frenetic. It's not as technical a league. It's not as demanding on defenders. He will be right at home if he goes to Inter, which we're assuming he's going to go to Inter over the summer. I think it's the right decision to let him go. I'm not a huge fan of how Atleti have handled it. I think their policy of only making 1 year offers to players over 30 is not a great policy. I think they should have at least given him a 2 year offer. I think they owe him that, considering everything he's done for the club. But I wouldn't have offered him like a substantial wage package. I would be fine bringing him back next year, but not in the role or with the wages he wants. Like, he still wants to be a starter and make good money. He's absolutely entitled to be a starter and make good money, but I think Atleti do need to move on from everyone in the old guard.
And sometimes that just needs to happen. I agree with you. I think the over 30s policy is a bit bad. I think that also I'm kind of slightly colored by that because Arsenal had a similar policy in the early 2000s and it went real bad. So, yeah, let's not do that.
It's a little bit much. I understand where it comes from, but it's a bit much.
Yeah, I get it too, but it's like you can just have an informal policy of doing that and not tell the world about it.
Right. Give him a 2 year offer. If he says no, he says no. That's fine. But I also understand that you can't demand a transfer fee for someone who is arguably the best defender in this team's history, in this club's history. I understand that letting him go on his terms is also.
Oh, yeah.
It's the right way to do it. I kind of see it both ways. I understand how the club kind of screwed up a little bit, and I understand how Godin could want more. I get it from both vantage points, and I think both sides are right in their own way. I think an amicable departure is probably the best thing for all involved. Atletico do need to get younger back there.
Agreed. Yeah, and I think it's for the best for both him and the club. So an amicable divorce, if you will.
Yeah. Last question, and this segues very nicely into our Barcelona preview. Abdul Malik asks, shall we expect a change from the typical Simeone approach toward Barca in the league this weekend? Is it worth it to risk it and go all attacking for a change? For me, after the Juve and Athletic games, my only hope for the season is to finally beat Girona, checked, and beat Barcelona in the league.
It could be done.
It could. It's also could
I don't
not
expect
be done.
It to happen.
Exactly.
I also don't expect Chola to go all out. Yeah. But I think we've seen Chola tinker a bit more than we have in recent years. So I'll be interested to see what he does. It is interesting because I'm not certain what's going to happen, especially given the injuries. But I think given that, we may see a revert to type.
I think with Costa and Morata out, it's just going to encourage Cholo to bunker even more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you had both those guys available, okay, you might see Atletico attack a little bit more, have a little more spring to their step. With those two guys out, no. This is going to be Atletico managing 25-30% possession. And honestly, I don't think it's worth changing your approach entirely because this approach has stymied Barca the last couple years. I mean, last year there was the 1-1 draw at home, the very, very slim 1-0 loss away. This year, the 1-1 draw at home that should have been a win. And now we have Camp Nou again on Saturday. I think this is an approach that it works against a team like Barcelona, just bunkering in that low block and not really looking for a goal unless it's from a set piece, unless you get a fortunate bounce here and there. Just focusing mostly on preventing Barca from putting up two or three on you. And I think Atletico, under those circumstances, as the underdog, playing against a team with as much talent as Barcelona, I think that approach still does work.
I think so. And I think coming off this fairly exhausting midweek jaunt with Villarreal, I think it's an interesting time to play them. So, we've broken the curse against Girona. Hell, let's do it for two Catalan teams.
An Atletico win, as I mentioned earlier, Simeone has never beaten Barcelona in the league as Atletico coach. An Atleti win brings them to within 5 points and gives them the head-to-head over Barca, which would make things kind of interesting with 7 weeks to go. Maybe a little interesting?
Yeah, a little. We'll see. we'll hang on and wait. They need to lose a couple more, and yeah,
got to actually beat Barcelona first.
Yeah, exactly.
And try to stop that Messi guy from doing things.
Well, you know, he's one of those players. It turns out he's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, if you bet $10 on Atleti, you could get $44 back, so I think we're underdogs.
Yeah, and you know what? That's just
so how, bear that in mind.
That's just how Simeone likes it. It really is. After all these years, as he's overseen Atleti becoming one of the giants of European club football, even after all these years, Simeone will always embrace being the underdog, and he will always be the underdog against Barcelona and Real Madrid. Always.
Yeah, until Atleti win 3 Champions Leagues back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, you'll also be thrilled to know, I'm sure, that the Braves made a 8th-inning comeback and are now about to beat the Cubs. So.
Oh, did they? Well, good. I don't particularly care for the Cubs, so that's good.
Does anyone?
That's, you know what?
Does anyone?
You're right. You are right.
Outside of Cubs fans.
Yeah. True, and those people are annoying.
Man, yeah. Them versus Cardinals fans. That's a close race right there.
No, they have spring training out here, and they just populate the Phoenix metro area. They're like cockroaches. They're all over the place.
And they don't, I know what you mean.
They don't go away. They eat all the cold cuts. They drink all the beer. You cannot get them. You cannot get them out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good luck. Good luck to your Red Sox tonight.
Yeah,
hopefully they have as much luck as America's team, the Atlanta Braves, have.
Well, the Red Sox are losing again, so.
They'll be fine.
I think so. It's early. It's only 6 games in the year.
And neither of us is signing Craig Kimbrel, because fuck him.
Yeah, we do have that in common as ex-lovers of Craig Kimbrel.
Somewhat jilted, although not as jilted as the Padres were. But, you know, whatevs. We'll leave it there.
Who cares about the Padres?
Yeah. That'd be nice to live there, but other than that.
You can sign Machado for $300 million and no one cares about you anyway.
I mean, to be honest, the $300 million thing and living in San Diego, that's a pretty solid deal. I can understand why he took that.
Yeah, I respect it. I do respect
that's,
it.
That's fair, although you are playing for the Padres. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
You got a scoreline prediction for Saturday?
Oh, yeah, sure. 2-1, Barcelona.
I'm going with another 1-0 to Barcelona. I can see a world where Atleti get a draw here.
Yeah.
I don't see them winning at Camp Nou. Barcelona are as good at home as Atletico are. I can see a world in which Atletico get a creditable draw here. They don't lose to Barca this season, which would be nice. But more likely than not, they're going to go in here. They're going to give it their all. They're going to put up a spirited effort, and they're going to lose 1-0.
Yeah. We're all on the same page.
That's probably what's going to happen. But hey, it you know, when you least expect it, Cholo could pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Exactly. Brace yourselves.
It's going to be a fun one. That's the Saturday night game in Barcelona. And then Atleti have the week off because they have no Champions League obligations. So that's cool. I'm not sad or bitter.
Yeah, well, we're just going to watch from afar.
Yeah, it's like that.
What's better, being in the latter stage of the Europa League or watching the Champions League?
It's like that meme of Squidward looking out his window at SpongeBob and Patrick playing.
Exactly, although at least we don't have to watch Real Madrid win it this year. That will make things eminently more bearable.
Yeah, we have to watch Juve, though, and that's just as bad.
Yeah, just as long as it's not Ronaldo.
Yeah, go on.
I was just thinking about it. I was about to say I'd take almost anyone else, and then I realized I hated about every single team left in the Champions League. So fuck them. No winner this year.
Go Ajax.
Yeah, Ajax. There we go. Ajax and Porto for the final.
And I do have a love for Liverpool, so.
Yeah. Thanks for beating Tottenham.
On that note... we're going to sign off. This is the Megapod. We promised you a Megapod, and we have delivered. Rob Walker.
Two C's.
Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colts Nero Chat.
A pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter, please, at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. You can find Colts Nero Chat, Into the Calderon articles that I write, in addition to my Phoenix Rising coverage, for those of you into American soccer. Yes, we have a team here in Phoenix. No, they are not in MLS. Quit asking me if they're in MLS. They're not in MLS.
Nazzle!
Actually, it's USL.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So,
sorry,
yeah, get it right, Rob.
I'm so sorry. Maybe if they had a promotion relegation system, it would be understandable.
We'll be going for another 40 minutes if we talk about that.
Yeah, we'll save that for an international break.
Follow Into the Calderon on Twitter, at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Nero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. And if you want to become a Colts Nero Chat amigo, give back to the show, get your questions answered, and... in such fashion, the Sporting Gijon, Trey Scottos, Alex Elliott, Eldo Malik Alharboa, as they just got to experience, become a Colts Nero Chat amigo. From as little as $3 a month, you can get all these pretty awesome benefits, including bonus podcasts, patreon.com/ColtsNeroChat. We'll be back next week to talk about Barcelona and Atletico. Until then, adios.